The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Nehemiah faithfully followed God's rebuilding program rather than going off on his own. He had the faith to follow God and do it his way, and we will see that he's going to be successful. Join us as we continue looking at Nehemiah's faithful approach to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem.
There are sincere children of God out there that are trying to address problems that they see and they sincerely are concerned about out there in the world, out in the religious world, but they're going in the wrong direction. They're starting churches and starting organizations and adding to churches and adding things to it that were never intended to be there, and they're not going to the right place, making an honest assessment and going back to the root of the problem. Nehemiah went to the root of the problem. He saw what needed to happen. And then in verse 17, he issued the right kind of challenge. He went to the people there. He said unto them, "Ye see the distress that we are in." Beloved, it's important. I'm not criticizing the world out there. I'm not trying to be harsh about those in the religious world and the denominational world out there. But beloved, we need to recognize the distress we are in. I believe the reason that you are here tonight and you are here on Sundays is because you recognize the distress that the world is in, even the religious world, and you've come to a place where we're trying to address these problems in the right God-honoring way. He said, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste." There are denominations out there that are lying in a spiritual wasteland, have gotten away from the Word of God. There's places where the preachers get up and hardly ever open the Word of God when they preach. They don't even, they maybe take one verse and then tell some stories. I know of places like that. But even so, others are taking what is not even really the Word of God and trying to preach from it. And the Word, some of these newer translations that leave things out and that say things in ways that were never intended. Beloved, it's important that we understand that the world out there is lying waste, the religious world, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So notice what he said. Here's the challenge. It's a challenge for us. I think 13 years ago, it was a big challenge, but it hadn't ended. Praise God for what happened in 2011 here at Zion, but it's not over. We still have the challenge today. He said, "Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." That word reproach brings the idea of disgrace. It carries with it the idea of the enemy taunting us and making fun of us, a very public shaming. As I said already, there's a sense in which we all ought to be ashamed by the condition that the church is in general today. Walls of doctrine have been broken down. Walls of morality have been broken down. Walls of fellowship have been broken down. The gates burning with the fires of hell, doctrines from hell. Beloved, it's a shame to be part of the mockery that exists for the kingdom of God today in many places. And I'm talking about the general state of the church out there. The remedy is, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. So how do we do that? We build it up by preaching sound doctrine. We lay that brick, we lay that stone of sound doctrine. We build it up by promoting and preaching right living, living in the kingdom, kingdom living. We build it up by purging improper practice and promoting the right kind of practice. We lay the stones of fellowship and we begin to build that up. We lay the stone of putting down yourself and building up your brother or sister and laying down your life for the kingdom of God. That's how we rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Beloved, again, I'm so thankful for what we have here. I feel like I'm thankful that what we've experienced here at Zion has been a rebuilding, and I believe it's been under God's rebuilding program, and I'm thankful for where we are. I'm not preaching this tonight saying that our walls are broken down. I think our walls have been built up, but beloved, we got to be careful that we not let them be broken down again. I've heard it said before that if you're living at the top of a high cliff, it's better to build a big, tall wall at the top of the cliff than a first aid station at the bottom. Whole lot better, right? Let's build that wall. Let's keep that wall erected. Let's keep that wall built up and solid. You know, over in the book of the Psalms, it tells us in Psalm 48 some truths about the city of God, some truths about the city that God has placed his favor upon. In that day, it was Jerusalem. Today, it's the church. He says in Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Isaiah told us about a mountain on the top of the mountains that would come in the last days. We're living in those last days, and we're in that mountain on the top of the mountains. There's a lot of mountains out there, but the mountain of the church of God, the true church, is in the top of the mountains. It's like we go up to the top of Mount Everest, we think that's the highest place, and there's another mountain, another Mount Everest on top of Mount Everest. You're in the highest place on earth tonight. You could be in Washington, D.C. at the White House at a gathering up there, and you would not be any higher than you are right here tonight. And notice what God says about that city. Beautiful for situation. Beautiful for situation. This is God's view of Zion Church, beloved. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. This place tonight is the joy of the whole earth. It's our joy, yes. It's my joy. I hope it's your joy. I believe it is. But it's the joy of the whole earth. If there's any joy in the whole earth, this is where it's found, beloved. You say there can be joy in our family. Yes, there is joy in your family, but the family is but an extension of the kingdom of God, right? The family is part of the kingdom, which goes to make up this kingdom, right? God is known in her palaces for a refuge. There's many palaces of the world out there where God is not known. I'm not talking about reprobate, wicked, unregenerate people. I'm talking about places where God's children go and they don't hear the truth about the real God. They hear about a God who's subject to the whims of men. They hear about a God who wants really badly to do some things but isn't able. They hear about a God who almost got his people saved, but didn't quite, because it depends on them. Beloved, God is known in the church when it's the right kind of church and it's preached in the right kind of way. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. See, I can rest under that. I can rest in that refuge, can't you? I can't rest in a refuge where I might still get out. You know, what's a refuge all about? A refuge is a place where you feel safe, right? But listen, if God just can't quite get us there and we got to keep ourselves there, then I'm not really safe, am I? I could slip out. Praise God, I heard some preaching this weekend about the absolute surety of our salvation. Praise God for that. I can have a refuge here. But notice, we don't have time to go through it all, but skipping on down, verse 12. Walk about Zion. You know, I've said this to you before. One of the best evangelism tools we have is certainly share with people what we believe, share with them what we do here at Zion, but tell them, come and see. Come and see. You just come on over. You know, what do y'all do at Zion? What do you believe over there? Well, we believe in the sovereignty of God and salvation. We believe in right living. We believe, you know, that the Lord is sovereign in the new birth. And we practice simply. We have simple practice, a simple message. But look, just come on down and see. Walk about Zion. Come walk around and look at things here. Walk about Zion. Go round about her and tell the towers thereof. That means count. That's an accounting term. Count the towers. You know, I've said this before. What's a tower do? A tower allows you to see the enemy coming from farther away. I hope that my preaching to you helps to identify the enemy before he gets into your backyard. I hope my preaching to you, I hope our studies of the scriptures here at this church and our interaction in fellowship here, I hope it will help you to be able to see the enemy before he comes knocking down your door. See, that's the whole point of a tower in a palace, in a fortress. You can climb up into it, and then they can cry out the warning that, look, the enemy is about 5 miles away out there. You better get ready. That's part of what we do here, you see. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Those are the defensive structures. Those are the walls and things like that. That, you know, you don't see a fortress out there with all these palaces and the king's house and all this, and there's no walls. And that was the problem with Jerusalem, wasn't it? The problem with Jerusalem was that the walls were broken down. Why is that a big deal? Because if the walls are broken down, the enemy can come and go at will. He can come and go whenever he wants to. But in the city of God, there's bulwarks there to protect you from the enemy. And I like this last one. Consider her palaces. Palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. Consider her palace. What's a palace for? You know, you got the towers there. You think about when you a defensive tower, you think about a man girded up with his armor and his sword and his his bow and arrows, and he's up there protecting. You think about bulwarks, somebody kind of stationed behind them to kind of watch out for the enemy and protect. But when you think about a palace, you think about rest. You think about comfort. The palace is the place where the king's family can rest. It's where the king's family can dine. It's where the king's family can fellowship together and learn of one another. And the older ones can teach the younger ones, and the younger ones can sit with the older ones and help them out. And you see, that's what we have in the kingdom of God. He said, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. I hope and pray that here at Zion Church, we've been able to build up the walls a little bit. Instead of, you know, I can't speak for others, but I can tell you, as I have here many times, that there were many years, Aunt Lorene knows this, where I'd drive by the church and I'd look over at the church and I'd just shake my head, that poor little church. Aunt Lorene, you know, Mommy, when my grandmother was still living, it was just the two of them, they were members. And then my grandmother died and said, I guess when Aunt Lorene's gone, we'll have to sell it for parts or something. You know, we'll have to figure out what we're going to do with it. But we're going to have to do something. It's a shame, right? Well, little did I know, and again, that's another message altogether. The Lord, we see in the book of Revelation, is walking among the candlesticks. The candlesticks are his churches. The Lord was walking here among this at this place, I believe. Probably looking at me and just kind of, I don't know if he grins or laughs or thinking the joke's going to be on him one day. It sure was. It was a wonderful joke. Praise God. I think we built up the walls here. And it took all of us together, and it took the good hand of our God upon us. Notice in verse 18, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. I'm so glad he didn't say, then I told them about all the preparations I made. I told them about all the things I did. No, even the ones who worked here at this church never have said one thing about all they did. They've always said how good God is. He said, the good hand of my God was on me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, it struck a chord. They said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Notice that struck a chord with God's children. I believe the gospel message today strikes a chord with God's children when it's preached in the right way. And notice it took a leader and it took the workers. It took leaders and workers. Leaders can't do the work by themselves, and workers can't accomplish much without some leadership. And he was there to lead. He was there to step out. And that means, beloved, that, you know, he wasn't the priest. He wasn't the preacher. I understand that I'm your leader in many ways, in certain sense. But, beloved, it's not about who's the preacher. It's about where you are, you see. You need to be a leader. And I've heard it said before that leadership is the art of getting people to do what they ought to do because they want to do it. You know, leadership's not ordering people around. I know some preachers like to order people around. That's not my style, and I don't believe that's the Lord's style. He talks about not taking the oversight thereof by constraint. We're not supposed to be dictators over the heritage of the Lord, but what we are supposed to be as preachers and pastors is leaders for the children of God. And beloved, it's not just for the preachers and the pastors. Nehemiah, as I said, wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a priest. He was a leader, though, in the kingdom of God, and that's something we all can do. And he said, they strengthened their hands for this good work. This is a good work, child of God. You remember over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, as Paul's writing to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto we are also called. You know, sometimes we fight, but it's not a good fight. Sometimes even in the kingdom of God, we've seen fights that aren't good fights. But the fight, when we're all pulling together, the battle, when we're all in unity. Now, I don't mean uniformity. We all come from different backgrounds. We like different football teams. We like different types of food. All that's fine. But when we get into unity in the Spirit binds us together, and it's a good work. It's a good work that we're doing here. Now, we're going to close out tonight on just briefly talking about the downside. Everything we've heard sounds great. The king's on board, Nehemiah's on board, the people are on board, but there's opposition to the program. There's opposition to the program. We're going to see that it's going to come from different sources, but it arose almost immediately. Remember back in verse 10? It said, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. This is either two or three men. Some say it's three. It's Sanballat and Tobiah and someone who's only identified as the Ammonite. But whether it's two or three, immediately the enemies of God's kingdom began to speak up. Everything started out great. Everybody was on the same page. But notice, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. You know, it still grieves the world today when anybody seeks the welfare of the children of God. But why are we surprised? Remember what Jesus himself said in John chapter 15? Over in John chapter 15 and verse 18, Jesus said this to his children before he went to Calvary. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You see, we shouldn't be surprised when opposition arises. The devil's fine as long as you're out there in the world. But when you start coming into the kingdom of God and start seeking the welfare of the children of God, the devil gets on the move and he stirs up his minions. And he's, you know, some people say, just join the church, all your troubles are over. No, that's when they begin, beloved. Oftentimes that's when they begin. Oh, but there's no better place to be to deal with those troubles that are going to occur in the world than in the kingdom of God. Verse 19, we're told that when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel also against the king? Ridicule is usually the first place it begins. But let me just encourage you tonight, don't be like the stony ground Christian. That's what happened to the stony ground Christian. They got all excited about the doctrine, all excited about the teaching, all excited about the church. But when persecution arose, when somebody said to them, you didn't join that primitive Baptist church, did you? You're not going down that little bitty congregation down there, are you? They don't even have a piano, you know? That's sometimes what we get, right? When that arose, they left, because they couldn't stand the persecution. They weren't prepared for it. Beloved, we ought to be prepared for it, because Jesus said it's coming. And our answer, our temptation is to compromise, but our answer ought to be what Nehemiah gave to them in verse 20, and we'll read this and close. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. That almost sounds like when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, doesn't it? You don't have any part with this. Now, we don't know. These men don't appear to be children of God, but that's something that no man can know the heart of another. He may be like the thief on the cross that on the very day of death is born again, but these don't act like children of God. And he says, you don't have any part in this. Some people say the job of the church is to get the world into the church. I say the job of the church is to keep the world out of the church, but to get God's children who are in the world into the church. He said, we're going to build because the hand of our God is good upon us. Now, this is just a preview of the opposition to come. Nehemiah's got more opposition coming. But throughout it all, we're going to see that as he participated in God's building program, and he did it the right way, he remembered always the good hand of his God upon him. And that's what we needed to remember as we try to do things in God's way.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.